Committee on Human Services will come to order. And thank you very, very much. I apologize for being late, but it's almost like being waylaid. You know, you just can't get here. You're stopped.
You're still popular.
Yeah, that's because of being a chair. Now I know I don't like being a chair. Oh, God, guys, I tell you.
I started the session out not being a chair for this very reason. And now I'm stuck being a chair.
That's what happened to me.
I'll show you the secret way around. But I'm not telling anybody.
Man, that's what happened to me.
Cost you $5. But
I tell you. Good afternoon, everybody. Sorry. What I'd like to start off with, asking Ms. Baker if she will, today's a work session, and she will start off with talking to us about Senate Bill 5600. We're on the department-wide support services budget.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. We are starting the Department of Human Services budget work sessions today. This is not the whole Department of Human Services budget. The approach we will take is to work one of the major clusters at each subcommittee meeting. So today we will do department-wide support services. Tomorrow we'll do children, adults, and families. And then next week at your Monday and Tuesday meetings, you will do health services and seniors and people with disabilities. And then we are presenting to you what our preliminary budget recommendations are, along with information on the performance measures and any budget notes that we are aware of and that the co-chairs have approved at this time. And then we will, as we've worked through the four clusters, we will come back into one final work session on the budget and take action on the final department-wide budget, the conceptual amendments to House Bill 5600, and the performance measures and budget notes at that point.
Okay.
So what you have in front of you today, I did hand out a revised memo, which is a replacement for what you got on Friday, and I will talk about the difference there. It's just a correction to an action that I was proposing.
Ms. Baker, before you further go, I see our friend Barry Cast here with us today, and I'd like to congratulate you on your new role. Hope things are going well. I know it's a big challenge, but I'm sure that you are up to the task.
So in addition to the memo, I have a revised spreadsheet. And again, I'll show you the correction. And then I've also given you a policy package summary for the department-wide support services budget so that you can look at the adjustments that are made in the proposed reshoot adjustments or the other recommended adjustments and see where those policy packages are ending up in our recommended budget. So starting on page one of the memo, then, the table there shows comparative budget information from the 2001-03 actuals, the 2003-05 legislatively approved budget, and that's as of the May 2005 rebalance, the initial governor's recommended, and then our legislative fiscal office revised recommended. To anticipate questions about the jump in budget for this cluster between the 2003-05 legislatively approved and the LFO revised recommended, you can see it's almost a $100 million total fund increase. The bulk of that increase, about $80 million of it, is related to the Medicaid Management Information System Project and the Child Welfare Information System Project, so the SACWIS project. The general fund associated with those, the new general fund, is only about $5 or $6 million. But because of the certificates of participation that are being issued relative to those projects and the matching federal funds, the total funds increase is about $80 million. And then as we go through the adjustments, you'll see a technical adjustment that moves more positions and funding into the department-wide support services, and that's about $9 million of that total funds increase. The rest is relatively routine things, state government service charges, some inflation increases, salary step increases, those kinds of things that would routinely be seen in an agency. But I did want to highlight the reason for that significant change in this budget. So our recommended changes to the governor's recommended budget, I've identified the highlights, hit the highlights, if you will, on page one of this memo. these changes incorporate the department's reshoot of the governor's budget. Overall, the reshoot identified a need for an additional $66.2 million general fund in the department. In this cluster, it was about $8 million. So this cluster represented about $8 million of that 66. And we'll talk about the individual line items that are included in that. But it does include issues that were carried forward from House Bill 5077, the 0305 budget rebalance bill you recently approved, changes in this budget relative to adjustments that are done in other clusters, particularly health services and seniors and people with disabilities, some corrections or updated costs for various policy packages, and then technical adjustments and transfers. Again, we note that there's no net impact on the department as a whole because of those technical adjustments and transfers, but they can swing each cluster's budget significantly one way or another. And in this case, in DWSS, it's a significant increase. You'll see adjustments for the reductions in the PERS rate and the hourly Department of Justice Attorney General rate that you've seen in other budgets. And then the changes also reflect the Senate budget actions, reducing general fund services and supplies 2%, delaying the cost of living adjustment in Department of Human Services for another 6 months, and eliminating the costs in this cluster associated with the package in the Children, Adults, and Families budget that would add Attorney General representation for child welfare workers. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. On top of page 2 of the memo, I note that DWSS is involved with the computer and networking infrastructure consolidation, colloquially known as CNIC. Those actual budget adjustments for that consolidated data center will be made in a separate bill. There won't be a bottom line impact on the Department of Human Services or the DWSS budget because the intention is to shift staffing and funding that are associated with that to a line item payment for the CNIC charges. So the money isn't removed from the DHS budget, it's just shifted to another line item. But I did want to note that will be happening separately, but it doesn't affect this agency's budget totals.
If at any time any of you would like to ask questions, you certainly feel free to do so.
So at this point, I'd like to walk through the spreadsheet and get into a little more detail, both about the reshoot adjustments and the other adjustments that we're recommending. So page 1 and about two-thirds of page 2 represent the agency reshoot adjustments. These are things that they've requested as adjustments to the governor's budget. The first three items reflect changes to the budget based on 0305 rebalance changes, so state police criminal background check fee increases, other funds and federal funds, revenue shortfall, and treasury fund interest charges. All are issues that were raised in 0305, but they have a continuing cost impact into the 0507 budget. So those are shown there. On line item number 5, you have the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, a little bit of cost increase to the general fund, significant federal matching funds for some costs that are more than expected and a little bit later than expected for that federal mandated project. Then the next three items relate to central administrative expenses for actions that are happening in the various budget clusters. So as staff or positions or costs arise in the clusters, there is a portion of that rent, other services and supplies issues, data processing, for example, that are reflected in the department-wide support services budget. So six relates to a federal grant that vocational rehabilitation receives, and you'll see that the actual program piece of that grant tomorrow in the children, adults, and families budget. Seven and eight relate to reshoot adjustments in the seniors and people with disabilities budget and the health services budget, adding positions and adding costs in department-wide support services. And John Britton will discuss those individual position and program changes more in the those two budget clusters, but this reflects the central administrative costs related to those. Then item number 9 asks for general fund backfill because at the time the reshoot was put together, the president's budget proposed that the Federal Health Services block grant be eliminated. That primarily has an impact on the health services budget, but again, there's central administrative costs related to that. So the reshoot included a request for backfill for that amount.
Now, Ms. Baker, will we get the money back from the feds?
Madam Chair, in fact, as we get into our recommended adjustments, we're recommending you not backfill that because we think that the grant isn't going to go away.
Absolutely.
But just in terms of budget policy, generally when we're building the budgets, okay, we don't base budgets on the president's proposed budgets because there are generally many changes between what the president proposes and what Congress eventually adopts.
Okay.
Line 10 is the federal Medicaid match rate change. There is a small amount of expenditures in the DWSS budget that is funded at the program rate, and so as that federal match rate changes, there's an impact on this budget. You'll see greater fund shifts from that change in the cluster's budgets as we get into those, children, adults, and families, health services, and SPD. So those are what I tried to group together as workload cost or revenue issues. Then we have other governor's budget revisions to the various policy packages that you saw when this budget was initially presented. Line 11 corrects the Medicaid Management Information System project phase-in package to add some general fund costs there for payment of debt service, but there's actually an adjustment to reduce the other funds expenditure limitation in that project as well. Lines 12 and 13 relate to the package in the governor's budget that rolled forward the impact of the November 2004 departmental rebalance plan. So prior to the last rebalance plan that was done in House Bill 5077, in November the department came in and at that time it rebalanced its budget. Those adjustments that carried forward into 05-07 were put in this package in the governor's budget, but there are two corrections that need to be made to that. The first is to eliminate what ended up being a double counting of the PERS pension obligation bond costs. During the November rebalance, those costs were shifted around within DHS, but when they were carried forward into the 05-07 budget period, the shifting around didn't eliminate where they came from in the first place, and so there was a double counting there, so you see significant savings by removing that cost. And then,
Madam Chair,
we're talking about $12 million that was not moved.
Yeah.
How does that kind of an error occur?
Mm-hmm. Well, frankly, Madam Chair and Senator Bates, it occurred because, well, let me say this. Generally, an agency in the governor's recommended budget would have gone through an audit from the Department of Administrative Services of their agency request budget, and then again an audit after the governor's recommended budget. And this was caught after the governor's recommended budget was finalized, but there hadn't been an earlier audit done. So it kind of slipped through because the auditing process wasn't as timely as we would normally hope that it would be.
How we, Madam Chair?
Please.
How we plan to correct, slipping through $11 million is $11 million, almost $12 million. How are we going to, is that corrected for the next biennium? We have a process in place to make sure that audit occurs earlier?
Madam Chair and Senator Bates, our office has had some discussions with DAS and with DHS, and they are, they identified this as an issue as they were going through and looking at their reshoot numbers. So I can't say that there's never, ever going to be any errors. I think that there's certainly more focus on the timeliness of the audits and the need to make sure that those audits are done timely before we get, 5 months into the biennium or into the legislative period.
Madam Chair, we'll probably be seeing lots of situations like this occur. We know there's been real serious problems with reshoot as far as getting good numbers out. I'm glad that the department and the MnDAS is honest enough to say, we've made a mistake, let's fix it. But we will need to question those as they come through to make sure they don't happen again. This is a significant amount of money, and we're going to probably see some other pieces that are just as significant, and I appreciate that. But we want to get the record that we really, really can't keep doing our budgets this way. We just can't function this way. Okay. Thank you.
It is my goal to work with the department once the session is over to see how we can bring about greater efficiencies. But what my understanding was, it's even though there was an error, it's not an efficient thing. The number doesn't matter whether it's $1 or $11 million. It's just when they get so many numbers in the pile. And, you know, and I have to always say this because I think it was really important for us to know when this department tried to upgrade their technology in the department, the legislature has been woefully, I think, and I've been on this committee for 20 years, has woefully and inadequately not funded the technology so that we can keep out so many human errors. And that's one of the things that take place. And I know it doesn't make us feel any more comfortable, but at the same time, I think we have to do our part to just have we changed the computer system in this department so that they can talk to each other, they can have, you know, greater capability of being able to look at a budget in a system that is there. Have we done anything?
Madam Chair, I think the answer is that the Orbit system, the automated budget information system, will lead to some improvements in terms of budgeting and getting numbers in. That said, other improvements to technology for the agency have been on a sort of piecemeal basis, the Medicaid management information system, the child welfare information system, and generally it's been in response to federal mandates. The department hasn't been given or I think even asked to guesstimate what the cost would be for a totally consolidated revenue budgeting expenditure program kind of system where it's all in one piece. I would say that, you know, that would be a significant both cost and time effort. And then you do have federal mandates in the various program areas that would make it very difficult to have one system do everything. So I think the answer to that is I think there have been some systems put in place that will help improve in some areas. That said, you know, it all does come down to not only the system, but the numbers that are put into it and how much attention is paid to that, both accuracy and timeliness. And again, as I said before, in this particular case, I think the problem was that DHS, because of the reorganization now, it's all one budget.
Right.
And all of the clusters have to be completed and go through audit and get audited all at one time. And that's a massive amount of information and a massive effort. And as the process goes through, because of the complications of the budget and the timing associated with, they tend to get at the bottom of the pile, if you will, as things go through audit and things get done. And so this time it was very unfortunate that it was the time lag that didn't pick up on the problems earlier. And so it's, I guess, to summarize, I think some system improvements have been made, and I think that we probably could make more investments in the systems, but I don't see that being on the table at this point.
I don't either. For the onset of the Medicaid Modernization Act, with that coming so fast, what can we expect? Now that one's going to really hit us hard.
Madam Chair, in terms of department-wide support services, there are certainly some impacts there, and there's some system changes that need to be made, and I think you'll see a little bit of funding for that in this reshoot.
Okay.
I think the main, certainly on the programmatic side, you'll have big impacts, and you'll hear more about that when you get to seniors and people with disabilities.
Thanks. Further questions? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, line 13 is a smaller correction, but in some ways similar. In this case, they took out twice savings related to contracts and procurement. That savings was accounted for in the November 04 rebalance. It was also then taken out as a reduction separately in the governor's budget. And so this just adds that back in because with the double dipping, if you will, there wouldn't have been much left for contracts and procurement to operate. Then line 14 is an adjustment to the Oregon Health Plan standard benefit package restoration. What happens in the governor's budget in package 103 was package 103 was intended to restore services and supplies costs with the restoration of the OHP standard benefits funded with provider tax. In fact, the SNS costs in department-wide support services were never removed from the base budget, and so package 103 was a double funding, if you will, then, of those SNS costs. So what the reshoot does after we've had a time to look at that was to say, okay, back out that double funding of your services and supplies costs. And let me move right away to line 29 on page 3. This is where the adjustment from the earlier materials you got comes in. I had originally looked at the adjustment and said, okay, that's fine. You take out the double funding of SNS costs, but can't you then use the provider tax revenues to pay for those costs, which otherwise would be paid for with general fund? And in theory, yes, you could, but in reality, or in the current time, what happened was in the reshoot, in the 0305 rebalance and in the reshoot request, DWSS repriced its whole operations to look at all the other federal funds revenues that it had and then how much general fund it needed. So in that repricing, it already assumed those other funds revenues. So I couldn't assume other funds revenues on top of that to offset general fund savings. So what I'm doing here is just showing that the line 29 adjustment as originally proposed is being backed out. And so you have a $377,000 general fund increase, but that same amount of other funds decreased from the numbers you saw earlier. Okay. Then let's go to the top of page 2, continuing on the reshoot line items. Lines 15 and 16 adjust for increased Medicare Modernization Act costs. Most of those costs are in senior and people with disabilities cluster, but there are some central costs for department-wide support services related to those positions. And there is $300,000, I noted, total funds for system contract work. So to address the system needs of that programmatic change, they will need an additional $300,000. So line 17 is a change.
Madam Chair?
Senator Meyer?
Yeah, I understand, Ms. Baker, what you mean by the technology that they already have. It needs to be upgraded. Is it new? Is it new? A new program they're purchasing? What does that mean?
We can ask the department to get into more detail, but my understanding is that they will need to make some modifications to the current system, and that's what the $300,000 for the contractors for. It's not a replacement of the existing system.
Okay.
It's just changing it so that it can track what it needs to track under the new regulations.
Thank you. That's all I need.
Thanks. Okay, line 17 reflects changes to the Child Welfare Information System package. The issuance of the certificates of participation to fund that package is delayed, and so you have some debt service savings this biennium. There are other funds added for the issuance costs, and then there's a little bit of federal funds match based on pricing. There's also a reclassification of a couple positions that were in the original package, including the project manager position based on recommendations from the human resources people.
Can we use COPS to do that?
this project and the Medicaid Management Information Systems project are being funded with certificates of participation because they're considered to be, you know, longer-term capital investments, and so the project cost, the state share of the project cost is being funded with the certificates of participation with federal funds matching that, and then the general fund over time is used to pay off the certificates of participation. So we have the debt.
I can see as long as it's technology, I was looking programmatic about it.
Right.
Okay.
These are for the technology projects.
Okay.
And none of the certificates of participation funding gets used for the ongoing operations in either child welfare or the Medicaid program.
Thanks.
Okay, package 115 and package 119, so lines 18 and 19 on the spreadsheet, both reflect adjustments based on the fact that although there are permanent positions requested in those two packages in the governor's budget, in fact, for the forecasting positions, those positions are all double filled, and for the overpayment collections, some of them are limited duration positions. The original package included some expendable property money to pay for things like computers and system furniture and all that, but since the positions are already there, they don't need that, and so they've backed that out. Line 20 is a correction in package 123 related to the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act Security Office. The correction here is to the federal funds. It was significantly overstated in how the governor's budget final package ended up, and so this is just to get it to where it should be. I've noted what the package split now is. Line 21, it relates to package 129, the Medicaid Quality Control Review Package. If you remember the discussion, this is a new federal requirement in terms of how many claims and cases get reviewed and how often they get reviewed. And the package in the governor's budget added some positions and funding here, and there's another position in another package in children, adults, and families that you'll see. But in looking at this more closely, looking at other states that were piloting some of these changes, they've identified a need for some additional staffing here, and so that's reflected here. And I'd reference now this two-page document that I provided to you today. It summarizes the policy packages, starting with the governor's budget level for each policy package, what the agency reshoot adjustments do to it, and then if there's any additional LFO recommended adjustments, showing that as well, so you can see what the starting point was for each policy package and where we're ending up. So, for example, on this one, if you go to page 2, the last package right before the total lines is package 129, and you can see the starting point for the governor's budget package and then the package that you're being asked to approve as part of the overall recommended budget. So you can track the changes there in more context than it just on this spreadsheet. And then line 22 on the spreadsheet relates to other technical adjustments and transfers. Again, although there's no net cost department-wide for those or net increase or decrease, there are increases and decreases in each of the clusters. And in this case, it's a $9 million add to department-wide support services, and it adds 93 positions. So it's a significant increase. Most of that is related to consolidating the collections and payment recovery efforts in department-wide support services. There was a little bit of discussion about that during the Joint Human Services Subcommittee, that was something they were working on doing. Because although some of the collections was happening in department-wide support services, some was also in children, adults, and families, and there was some happening in health services. So the intention is to bring it all together and be more efficient.
Madam Chair? Thank you. Say that again. These 80 positions were transferred from where?
Most 80 positions were transferred from children, adults, and families. Two are being transferred from health services. And those are related to the overpayment collections and recoveries. So they're all coming, those are all coming into department-wide support services.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that as we get into those clusters budget as part of the technical adjustments and transfers there, they'll be coming out of those budgets. But it is a significant add here and is part of the $100 million bottom line increase that you see on the front page of the memo.
And this was done due to the efficiency they feel?
The idea was to bring all those like functions together so that they can be more efficient and have, I think, a more consistent approach to how they do things.
Thank you.
So then that is the last item in terms of what the agency requested for the DWSS budget as part of their reshoot request. So it's about an $8.2 million general fund increase in the reshoot request. So of the $66.2 million general fund overall for the department, $8.2 million of it is DWSS. Now we get to the legislative adjustments. The line 23 and 24 are the impact on this budget of the PERS rate reduction and then the Attorney General rate reduction, which you've seen in other budgets. The next line relates to the package in children, adults, and families for the Attorney General representation for child welfare workers. The Senate budget doesn't fund that package in children, adults, and families. And so we've pulled out the DWSS package here that relates to that. And we'll have some more discussion tomorrow on that package in the Children, Adults, and Families budget. But at this point, the Senate budget pulls out the CAF package and the DWS package as well. Then the next line is the 2% Services and Supplies Reduction General Fund. Most of the services and supplies in this budget relate to either state government service charges, but also a lot relating to information technology, contractors, contracts, data maintenance agreements, that kind of thing. And then the next line is the Senate proposal for further delaying the cost of living adjustment in the Department of Human Services budgets by an additional 6 months. Then on top of page 3, item 28, we show that we recommend that you not backfill the Federal Health Services block grant, again, because we think that that will be restored ultimately in congressional action and that there won't be the elimination of that. If we're wrong, then it becomes a rebalance item during the interim, but we think that it will be funded. And then on line 30, we're recommending that similar to DWSS costs being added as positions are added in other clusters, that the budget recognize the savings in DWSS for those positions that are eliminated in reshoot actions in the seniors and people with disabilities cluster. So there's a little bit of savings there. So we end up with a total Senate preliminary budget of $124 million rounded up, and $389.4 million total funds.
Questions?
Well, just a comment, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I know that the session is winding down, and I appreciate the work LFO is trying to get done under the conditions of working with dual budgets. I'd like to point out, and I'll probably be saying this again, January, February, March, we spent probably a week, probably close to a week, on looking at, as an example, the budget for nurses, other funds, small amount. This is a $400 million budget, which we are hopefully going to pass out based on what LFO has done for us for the most part, and I appreciate their efforts. I would have loved to spend a week on this budget, really getting into it. When's the MICE system going to be up and running? How much money have we spent on it? Where are we going? As an example, questions we could ask them. It's ripe for questions all the way through this budget. We just don't have time to do it now. And I think the next time we're here, it would behoove us to reprioritize how we spend our time in this committee I am tired of spending a week on the Board of Medical Examiners, the Board of Nurses, and all these other things that we don't get to. And when with this kind of stuff, waste the end, and we really don't have time to ask pertinent questions to really look into it. Mm-hmm. I know this is frustrating for you, and probably more frustrating to LFO, but I'm hoping next time we come here, we start these kind of discussions in January and February, knowing that we don't have all our numbers, knowing all the problems of getting those, but we're putting out a $400 million budget here that we've hardly looked at. And we'll be putting out bigger budgets this week, the same kind of overview, and we really put a huge responsibility in LFO to do that for us. And I appreciate that, Sheila, but it's a huge responsibility and one we should be sharing with you more than we do. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, Senator, because, you know, Sheila, I was thinking the other day of all the the people who are in abject poverty, like general assistance people and emergency grant people. Are they in our budget? I know not the FSS.
Right. Madam Chair, I believe the general assistance reduction that was made in the governor's budget is not added back in the Senate budget. There are, and you will hear as we go through the program area budget, you'll hear more discussion about what's in and what's not in. And no, not everything is funded in the program budget.
See, and that's the thing I'm talking about. The most vulnerable in our society, we're not doing anything for. raising taxes here, doing all this kind of stuff. I mean, giving tax breaks here, giving tax breaks there, and yet the most vulnerable in our society. And I'm saying that because of what you're saying.
Absolutely.
That we don't have time to really look at and philosophically make some kind of value judgment in terms of who's out there that this state really needs to be paying attention to. That's what makes it kind of hard. Thank you very much.
If we're done on the preliminary budget, then I'll go back to the memo and just cover the performance measures and budget notes, or lack thereof in this case. In terms of performance measures, this cluster, department-wide support services, doesn't have key performance measures that it reports as part of the overall DHS measures, but as they reported to the Joint Human Services Subcommittee, they do have internal measures. They listed those. Some examples are listed here. Measures that they track to make sure that they're operating as efficiently and effectively as they could.
That sounds really interesting.
With the goal of ensuring that they operate as efficiently
and effectively
as possible.
And I'm glad Ms. Cass is here to hear this, because somewhere along the line we need to get better efficiencies out from the health piece that is in the department and straight into you guys. We should reshoot and rebalance, should not be costing us this kind of money. Am I just all wet with this or what? You know, too bad we can't bring him up to answer something like that.
You can bring him up if you want.
Come on up, Mr. Cass. Join us. Oh, the director is here. You better come on and get the hot seat. I didn't see him. He was hiding.
Jeez, I didn't either. I was actually looking for him.
Mind if I go away from here?
Madam Chair, I have to ask a question.
I do. Uh-oh. See, these guys are your buddies, too. I mean, really, with buddies like this, you don't need many friends. I mean, really. You know, enemies, excuse me. But and I know you just joined this group, but it is something I hope that you have a chance to take a good look at. Reshoot, rebalance, always a big issue. And when you look at how we have to use TANs to pay for different services in this state, people talk about payday loans. TANs, to me, are like payday loans. I mean, you get that money, and you pay such an exorbitant
cost
for borrowing that money. It just seemed unbelievable to me. And somewhere along the line, and I see all those finance people back there, you know, I'm going to talk to you guys and this is over. How can we do better? I mean, I'm not criticizing. Please, God forbid, I am not criticizing. I'm asking questions. How can we do it? How can we do better?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Brian Johnson, interim director of the Department of...
Emphasis on interim.
of Human Services. I want to directly answer your question. You asked if you were all wet, and the answer is no. Although when I was here last or in front of some other committee, I argued that and correctly stated that the industry average for forecasting is 2%, and so we could easily hide behind that and say we are well beneath the industry average, but that's not good enough. We have to be able to do better, and we will do better. This is a question of how do we muster the resources that are available to us that aren't just at DHS. One of the things that I'd like to help the department see is that there's a lot of other ways to skin this cat, and we ought to engage in using all the resources. But we do have to do better. And Senator Bates asked earlier a question about a $12 million mistake, and it's not a question of the audit catching that. It's a question of us catching that. So we need to own those sorts of things. And yes, mistakes happen. They have happened. But for the legislature to be gifted a reshoot number as large as we did at the 11th hour is a reasonably unfortunate incident. And both perhaps the process could have brought it about a little quicker, and we should certainly be capable of delivering numbers more closely connected to the end product.
I am the first person to support the department in terms of where the legislature has been negligent. And I do mean negligent in terms of not giving you the kind of technology that you need. So please, I'm not one of those just want to sit back and really tell about what you're not doing, but also pad that with the fact that if we don't give you the right kind of technology to be more efficient in your work, there is an absence on both sides of it. And so I do worry about that. But when I come, I'm going to want to talk about what the legislature needs to do in order to give you those tools that you need to do better projections in terms of these issues. And how could we end up not big numbers like we ended up with reshoot as well as rebalance. And I know you're dying to have something to say, Mr. Taft, since you've been around this system as long as I have.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to introduce myself as the interim deputy director. So you have two temps up here opining about the past. But I would just like to point out, and I think was responsive to Sheila's explanation about the $12 million, is that this department has reorganized itself and has been careening from budget cut to budget cut for more than 3 years. And we have very competent, talented people, some outdated systems for making things work, and this is, in some sense, glued together. And it will get better when there is more stability in the process that we're using. And I think we have a plan for doing that, and I think by this time in 07, I hope we'll be able to bring something back that's, I think, more predictable. We've reorganized our caseload projection process. We're making improvements in our financing systems. There are the plans underway to make those improvements, and we hear you, and don't see it as a matter of blaming the department or blaming the legislature, but recognizing the magnitude of what has happened here. In our budget document, there is about a 30-page record of changes in the department's budget over a 22 or 24 month period, which are absolutely astonishing. It's good advice, and we recognize it, and we'll move forward with it.
Right.
I guess I've got a couple of sort of broad questions for deputy.
Yeah,
a deputy. I suppose it's deputy de jure or something, that sort of thing. I've only been up here a short time, 4 or 5 years, and each session is different director. It makes it very difficult for the department, but I agree with what Dr. Cass has said about you do have good people. I'm not sure they're organized the best possible fashion, and I'm sure the technology backing up is minimal. And it concerns me that you have no performance measures for DWSS other than internal ones, and that makes me concerned also. The question I'd like to have you look at over the interim is the cost of administrative overhead. $400 million is a huge amount of money, but the department is big. This is about 5% of the budget, as the $400 million. And there's more administrative overhead in each department below you also. But I would think that'd be one of the goals for you to look at, is not only efficiency and how well you're functioning, but what's the real cost of running this department and running the agency And what are the costs for us to get those services out to people who want to get out to them, whether it be healthcare services or general support, or food stamps, whatever it is we're looking at? What is the true cost to get those out? We've already looked at two pieces. One was the FEOP program, and one was food stamps, and we're pretty shocked by those numbers. The cost of administering that and getting it out because of means testing and other things is pretty heavy. If we could lower those figures and get more people treated, more people served, that would obviously be our goal. I don't have to tell you that already, but right now, looking at this, I can't tell what your administrative overhead is, and I would guess that you would have some difficulty doing that, too. I'm not asking you to do that now, but one of the goals in the interim, and as you think about the new director and are part of selecting that new director, I would think that would be one of the key issues you would bring up in your discussions with him.
Senator, do you mind in asking that question, if I bring Mr. Psyche up along with that, because they did a staffing study and they have plans for where they go from here. Mr. Psyche, please join us. And I hope you don't mind me bringing him up. So
I looked at the study, and it might be well to get on the record
exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. Since both these guys are interim people, I thought maybe... not that you did or anything, right. You know.
I hope I'm not an interim.
My comment was going to be that you're probably now interim. Or temporary or whatever.
Please. Can you respond to Senator Bates' questions once you get through? Then I'd ask the director, because since you are going to have the whip with this, can respond as well.
Chair Carter, members of the committee, for the record, Clyde Psyche, Department of Human Services. And Senator Bates, I think what we had envisioned is that in either phase two or phase three of the staffing study, administrative services was going to be one of the areas we focused on, particularly looking at administrative overhead cost for providing the services we're providing, and also ways that we can become more efficient and streamline processes with the aim of looking at our administrative overhead and getting it to a place where both you and we are comfortable with.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, I'd say one other thing about that staffing survey. We stand at a particularly auspicious moment in terms of what we can do, both with IS and with our partners. And we need to engage both of them in the staffing survey and in our process improvements as we go forward. We need to become web-enabled with kiosks in every, we have 151 facilities. We need to have the ability for people to access the web so that you could fill out some of our forms from home, from public libraries. You can do lots of different things. We're just beginning to look at the way we could modernize and make this happen for those who can. Not everyone can yet, but there'll come a time when everyone can, and we need to be ready for it. And we need to look at our partners for guidance on this process improvement stuff, because, frankly, we shouldn't be isolated from them, and we have been thus far, so we have a lot of room yet to go.
I'm glad to hear that piece, because one of my constituents about a month ago went to our center on Vancouver Avenue, and she was number 10 in line, and she didn't even get a chance to get waited on, and because of the process of filling out all the applications, mm-hmm. and this kind of stuff. So it's no negative reflection on the system, but it does question our ability as a state to be much more efficient, because when people are already feeling down and out, this was a person who was at professional level, been working all her life and had severe depression, and it just overwhelmed her so bad. I mean, it was unbelievable. So having those kind of efficiencies in place so that people can fill them out and then they go and talk to people will certainly make a big difference on the part of people. Further questions? You guys can kind of make yourself a little comfortable just in case they have any more. Okay, Ms. Baker. No, real comfortable right where you are.
All right. not that comfortable.
Just in the event.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
We have a legislative the distinction and the concept of comfort.
Yeah. You know what? You taught us about communication. We should know better by now.
You say that to Brian. He said it to Magoo's.
And you wish you was saying it, Magoo's.
Okay, Madam Chair, if you will, I'll go back for a couple moments back to the performance measures. Noting that right now DWSS does not have key performance measures, but the Department of Administrative Services is working on some statewide administrative performance measures that DWSS will be adding, and then there is the standardized customer service measures that are under development that will also be added to the department's list of performance measures.
So they didn't have accuracy as a performance measure before we added this, huh?
Madam Chair, this is a customer satisfaction rating based on accuracy, timeliness, helpfulness, et cetera, et cetera. So it doesn't measure what the actual accuracy or timeliness was, but the report of customers that are seeing that as excellent or above average.
This is a new set of performance measures that were added in this session for all departments, all agencies. We see them in natural resources everywhere. Mm-hmm. So right now we haven't got any figures for it because we're just implementing those right now. But, and they're going to be standardized across all agencies.
But these will be internal.
These will be reported to us. They will report to us.
Right. My understanding.
Customer satisfaction will have to go out, I assume, and talk to the customers of these different agencies and ask them these questions and bring us data.
But it would appear to me, Mr. Johnson, that since reshoot and rebalance numbers are as high as they are, even though you've said to me that you basically are at industry standards with 2%, it would appear to me that to have some kind of internal performance measure, and you know, it's a goal to see how well and more efficient we are becoming. It just appeared to me that there should be some internal kind of mechanism for people to stay focused.
Yeah. Madam Chair, you are right. And when next we appear, we will be able to articulate a goal.
That would be great. Thanks. Ms. Baker.
All right. The next section is budget notes. And at this time, there are no budget notes for DWSS. But we do suggest that the subcommittee talk about the staffing study. We've done that to a small extent in terms of related to central administrative or overhead costs. But I thought it would be useful to get an update on the plans relative to phase one, which you heard a report on a couple weeks ago, and then talk about the work plan for phase two, because as I noted in the memo, there were some areas identified for phase two, and that is quite an aggressive work plan, and so I thought it would be useful to talk about that.
Let me just ask, Barry, since you've been internal to this department for some time, why wouldn't the department take on as a goal the most vulnerable, i.e. looking at general assistance, looking at emergency grants? Why are those things the first things given up? Can you just, I know, yes.
The department, Madam Chair, has been through this process so many times in the past several years. It's not a matter of setting one goal and moving toward it. It's prioritizing a range of goals across the department. And secondly, meeting targets for general fund expenditure, preserving programs, leveraging, and all of those kinds of things, so that the extensive prioritization process sometimes leads to decisions that are really unpleasant, sometimes unpalatable, but difficult to avoid. I can't speak to the issue of general assistance. It's an area that wasn't in my budget until about 3 weeks ago. But I know that we've had the same experience in health services, and we've been facing choices between populations like people with HIV versus people with disabling mental illness, and how do you make those choices? I think it's a dilemma for us. For you and for us together.
Why? Well, let me ask, because you guys have been ongoing on the committee, the three of you. Was that a part of your hanging fruit, Was that your low-hanging fruit, general assistance? And that's why it was so easy for the committee to eliminate it? General assistance and emergency.
You mean in the study of the staffing, you mean?
No, when you guys prioritized...
We did not eliminate...
No, we did not.
General assistance.
Madam Chair, general assistance, I believe, wasn't funded in the governor's budget, and so during the priority discussions, it wouldn't have been on the list for this committee to prioritize.
But more than that, Madam Chair, in our little informal discussions, we put it back in.
We put it back in. We prioritized it and put it back in. Now, what you're talking about here, I believe, Shirley, if I'm correct, is the staffing study that was done, The agency chose to do food stamps, adult and protective service staffing, as a start to look at staffing ratios and the kind of work that was being done. And that was the study they first did. And they did not choose to go into the other areas because they didn't have the money to do it and didn't have the time to do it, primarily the money. And that they're going to move into each of those different areas. The question many of us still have is, are we doing that study the right way? Is it giving us information we want? It's giving us good information, but it's giving us everything. Are we getting a picture of DHS that says, are we right-sized? Are we organized properly? Do we have the right people in the right job? Do we have the right IT? Those questions really aren't being asked or answered by the study. It's the beginning of the study. It gives you some idea of what's going on. There's specific recommendations which we can follow and should have some savings in, but the savings are not going to be massive. But they are going to be potentially significant, and it gives the agency a chance to restart thinking about these things. Some of us felt that bringing in people who had right-sized large corporations was a better way to do this. And that discussion went on, and it was decided not to go in that direction this time, that the cost difficulty of doing that was not appropriate for the last interim. We may have that discussion again, we may not. I think it's something that, quite frankly, has to be delayed. That kind of discussion is delayed until we have a permanent agency head and have an opportunity to have those discussions then. I think it would be preliminary and unfair to that person to have those discussions now. That's why I really think it's the best thing you can do is go forward with what you got. It's not, and I don't think it's perfect. It's not what I'd like to see, but it's a good step in the right direction. And I would say that's where you need to go. Your question, I think, is, what happened to general funds and some of these other prioritized programs? And I think Senator Westland was more than correct in saying we looked at that, disagreed with the governor respectfully, and put them back in. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Does that muddy things up, or does that help, Sheila?
That helped me.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, in terms of specific program changes and what's in and what's out, I think as we go through the program budget, you'll have an opportunity for more discussion.
Okay.
And I probably should say one more thing. The chair has spent the last 5 months as vice chair of Ways and Means and has not had an opportunity to see some of the work we've done down here. So I think the question is very germane. It brings back to my mind what we did, because I have to think about it sometimes. Mm-hmm. We just have to think, what do we do? And
exactly.
Luckily, Senator Westland has a better memory than I did remembered.
Right. I remember the larger budget, and I noticed you didn't see it, but I thought it was because you guys didn't
see it. What did we do? You know.
Uh-huh. Mr. Baker, thanks.
Following on the discussion of the staffing study, I mean, my suggestion would be not necessarily a budget note, but certainly an expectation that the agency would come in and report in terms of implementation of phase one, and then as they're moving towards phase two, come in and report to the emergency board on that so people can know what's going on there. And I think the point about waiting until you have a permanent director is very appropriate for this as well.
I think it's a good idea because I'm not so amenable to always sending a lot of budget notes to people. It's like a mandate without being funded. And so I'm hoping that will happen. And as you prepare to leave, Ms. Johnston, that maybe that's something you can pass on to your predecessor. Yeah, I mean, say the person that's coming on after you.
Unless, of course, he has a complete psychotic break and decides to stay.
Yeah.
Of all the things to worry about, Madam Chair and Senator Bates, that's not it.
That's not it. The psychotic break or staying. Or both.
Both.
Both. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
That's right.
So, Madam Chair, absent any other questions or discussion, then we would recommend that you approve a preliminary budget for department-wide support services as noted on the bottom of page 2 of our memo.
So moved.
Senator Bates has moved that we will accept a preliminary budget as outlined with any corrections or up until this point. Any objections? Is that general order of the day?
Yes.
And tomorrow's agenda, one more time?
Tomorrow's agenda will be children, adults, and families. Okay. Similar structure, different issues, different numbers.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us.
You can have this back.
Well, I'll give you your notes. You
Oh, no, I want my notes. Yeah. That's true. I need
that. It was a real challenge.
I know.
It was a terrible challenge. I mean, it was a hard job. It was a first place.